unfold like flowers before thee. Hail thee as the sun above. Melt the clouds of sin and sadness, drive the dark of doubt away. Giver of immortal gladness, fill us with the light of day. All thy works with joy surround thee, earth and heaven reflect thy rays. Stars and angels sing around thee, center of unbroken praise. Field and forest, vale and mountain, flowery meadow, flashing sea, chanting bird and flowing fountain, call us to rejoice in thee. Mortals, join the happy chorus which the morning stars began. Father, love is reigning o'er us. Brother, love binds man to man. Ever singing, march we onward, victors in the midst of strife. Joyful music leads us onward in the triumph song of life. Amen. Amen.
Isn't it marvelous how the Lord has made it possible that we can meet day after day in this manner around His Word? I'm here at the microphone, you're there by your radio, and so we labor together. We thank the Lord for this, and welcome to Back to the Bible. I'm your friend, Theodore Imp. These messages on Moses are being printed, and will be ready for mailing the first of next month. Those of you that have not yet written for your free copy may do so at once. This will be the last week that we will be mentioning the free copies of Moses, Volume 2. Or the title, God Strengthens His Man. They're absolutely free and postage paid. And so, I do trust that you want to continue to study with us. Write for your free copy then of Moses, Volume 2. Our mailing address is simply Back to the Bible Broadcast, Lincoln, Nebraska, 68501.
I've a long longing in my heart for Jesus. I've a longing in my heart to see His face. I am weary, oh so weary, of traveling here below. I've a longing in my heart for Him.
I've a longing in my heart.
Your heart is all set for the opening of the Word. Let's ask God to bless our hearts. Father, we have the Word before us again. These songs have been speaking to us. Now Thy Word, through Thy Word, You will be speaking to us again. Open the hearts of listeners, the ears to hear, eyes to see and to behold Thy glory, Thy truth, and bring honor and glory to Thy name. Thank You. In Jesus' name, amen. This week will be the final week in the second series of studies from the life of Moses, namely that God is strengthening His man. And with today's lesson, we begin to see how that God has led His man, trained His man, led him forth, and now he stands there as the leader of a people who are being emancipated. The last plague is about to strike, or is striking. And this is what the Word has to say about it. In the 12th chapter of Exodus, verse 29, "And it came to pass that at midnight the Lord smote all the firstborn of the land of Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh that sat on his throne unto the firstborn of the captive that was in the dungeon, and all the firstborn of the cattle. And then also, as Moses had announced previous to this, Israel was ordered out, and they were ordered out in haste. They were ordered out in a hurry. It was very urgent. Listen to the words once again as we read verses 30 through 33. And Pharaoh rose up in the night, he and all of his servants and all the Egyptians. There was a great cry in Egypt, for there was not a house where there was not one dead. And he called for Moses and Aaron by night and said, Rise up and get you forth from among my people, both ye and the children of Israel. Go ye and serve the Lord as ye have said. Also take your flocks and your herds as ye have said, and be gone and bless me also. And the Egyptians were urgent upon the people that they might send them out of the land in haste, for they said, We be all dead men. Now we saw last time that Pharaoh did not see Moses, or Moses did not see Pharaoh again face to face. He sent messengers this time, and the people were very urgent, and they said, get out, because if you don't get out, we're all going to be dead people. Well, God had previously announced this, and it was simply the fulfillment of God's announcement. In the 6th chapter, in the 1st verse, God had spoken to Moses and said, When I am through with Pharaoh, he will not only let you go, he will drive you out. And then in the 11th chapter, and in the 1st verse, where God was addressing, through Moses, was addressing Pharaoh, he said, I'm going to just bring one more plague, and afterwards he will let you go hence. In fact, he says, they will thrust you out. And then when Moses is facing Pharaoh, and the last words that Moses says to Pharaoh, found in the 8th verse of the 11th chapter, he says to him, And all these servants shall come down to me and bow down themselves to me, saying, Get thee out, and all the people that follow thee, and after that I will go out. And then he went out from Pharaoh in a holy anger. And so the Lord was fulfilling exactly what he had said he would do. Now then, not only that, God had pronounced previous to this that they would go out fully supplied. God had made this promise to Abraham in the 15th chapter when he said that your descendants are going to be in the land, not their own, and he says they're going to be brought out of there, but they're going to be brought out of there with plenty. He mentions it to Moses when he first announces to Moses that he's going to lead the people out. And he mentions it again in Psalm 105, and I'll read that to you in just a moment. But first of all, in this 12th chapter, verse 35 and 36, he says, Now the sons of Israel had done according to the word of Moses, for they had requested from the Egyptians articles of silver, articles of gold, clothing. And the Lord had given the people favor in the sight of the Egyptian, so that they let them have their request. Thus they plundered the Egyptians. Notice what they requested. They requested articles of silver, articles of gold, and clothing. Three things. The silver and the gold was later on used in the tabernacle and carried through that way and brought into the land, maybe even as far as the temple later on. And then clothing especially, for they were going to be out there, and they gave them plenty of clothing. They gave them everything that they had requested. Here's what the psalmist has to say in reviewing this whole case. Psalm 105, verse 37 and 8. He brought them forth also with silver and gold, and there was not one feeble a person among their tribes. That's quite a statement. Not one feeble person among their tribes. Egypt was glad when they departed, for the fear of them fell upon all of these people that is in Egypt. Then, the next thing I want you to note is that God sort of led them around about instead of the direct route. Now, there was a direct route right from where they were living in the very northern part of the land of Egypt, and possibly about a 3 days' journey could have brought them right to the edge of the land. But it was not the place to go. There were they would possibly run into warfare and many other reasons, and God made it very clear to them that this was not going to be the way he was going to lead them. I read from the 13th chapter, verse 17 and 18. And it came to pass, when Pharaoh had let the people go, that God led them not through the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near. For God said, lest peradventure the people repent when they see war, and they return to Egypt. They were not ready yet for warfare. Then the 18th verse. But God led the people about through the way of the wilderness of the Red Sea, and the children of Israel went up harnessed out of the land of Egypt. He led them around about. God had a special order for them, a special detour, and a very special reason. The reason was twofold. Number one, for Israel. Israel, after all, were still babes in faith. They had been worshiping some idols there and had not experienced faith. Moses had now been well trained, but they were not yet ready. And therefore, God says, I'm not going to lead them in that direction. Now, in the New Testament, we have a verse that is very helpful to us, 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13. There's no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape. Well, this same principle was true right here. As far as the people of Israel were concerned, they were led around about another way. But the second reason also was that not only for the sake of the people of Israel and because they might meet warfare and turn around, but there was another reason. That was God was looking ahead with reference to Pharaoh himself. For note, as we read in the 14th chapter and in the 3rd verse, for Pharaoh will say, why will he say this? When he watches where they've gone. And he no doubt had his spies out. When Pharaoh will say of the children of Israel, they are entangled in the land. The wilderness has shut them in. This was God's real future motive, looking at the and seeing exactly what Pharaoh would do. And so God was not going to lead them that way, but get them in all entangled in this way. Now God was leading them, and we'll see just a little bit later how Moses reacted toward this, but I'll wait with that. I want you to note that how God led them. This is necessary for us to read, and we'll just mention it here in the 13th chapter again, verse 21 and 22. And the Lord was going before them in a pillar of cloud by day to lead them on the way, and a pillar of fire by night to give them light, that they might travel by day and by night. And he did not take away the pillar of cloud by day, nor the pillar of cloud by night from before the people. I'm not going into the detail with this now. This comes in a later lesson. But the pillar of cloud was God's provision and was God's gracious presence and guidance. Israel, after Moses, of course, begin now to learn that this was wholly the Lord's undertaking. God had said this. God had made this very clear to Moses in the 6th chapter when we have in the 3 verses there, 6, 7, and 8, the 7 I wills. I will take you out. I will take you to myself. I will bring you in and so on. I will, I will, I will. Now the people of Israel are beginning to realize, and especially when they have this pillar of cloud, which was a shadow by day, it was a cloud to lead them by day, maybe like a funnel or an umbrella type of a cloud. And at night it would simply light up. Whether it was God's Shekinah glory, I rather think so, because of his presence. God's wonderful glory, and they had light. See, they didn't have electric lights like we did, not even kerosene lights or gas lights or any kind of lights. Simply candles, I presume they had in those days, but they couldn't very well use those out in the desert in the open when the winds were blowing and so on. So God had a way of lighting up the situation for them. But there's a lesson here that's very important. God's plan of redemption, God's plan of salvation, is the same for all mankind, my friends. When God says he's going to take care of us, he's going to lead us out, it is he and his undertaking from the very inception to its very consummation. This is all God's doings for everybody. Salvation is of God, not by works which we have done, but by His grace. And we are thus saved by that, not according to what we have done, but as He Himself has planned and purposed and has provided for us. Now I want you to see with me Moses' reaction. You see, Moses' faith really is tested to the very limit as he sees God's strategy and leadership here. It is a test of an seemingly impossible situation. But what is his attitude? I'm going to read the first two verses of the 14th chapter. "And now the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, that they turn and encamp between Migdol and the sea, over against Baal-Zephon. Before it shall ye encamp by the sea." And then all God tells him is that Pharaoh will say, "Huh, the children of Israel got themselves all tangled up in the land." And you'll see this in just a moment. And then God comes along and says, "But I will harden Pharaoh's heart, and he will follow you." Now, coming back to the test, I say again, it is a test of a seemingly impossible situation. Note the four situations set before us. They encamp, that they were led by the cloud now, encamped over against the impassable mountain range of Baal-Zephon on one side. So that's a mountain range. You couldn't go over that one. The second place, the impassable waste of sand and sand dunes over on the left side, or on the other side. So the two sides, they couldn't turn to the right, nor could they turn to the left. Well, they could go forward, you say, yes. But before them, there'd be impassable Red Sea. From where they had three ways, the only way they could go was go back. But look and behold, behind them came the invincible armies of Pharaoh, and now they were hemmed in on all four sides.